Chapter 71. He caught Molly at the station as she was about to leave for home. Jesse was inscrutable by nature. He didn't wear his heart on his sleeve. His face wasn't an open book. So for him to look at her the way he was looking at her meant something was wrong, terribly wrong. Molly could feel her heart pounding. Her mouth was cotton, her palms wet. She was lightheaded. Her vision blurred at the edges in stark contrast to the painfully sharp image of Jesse's face. "Is it Suit? Did something happen to Suit?" "He's fine, Molly. I just dropped him at home." "My kids. Did something?" Jesse grabbed her shoulders and shook her just enough to get her attention. "It's not like that. Come on into my office." He let go of her arms, but somehow she couldn't move. She felt glued to the floor, her legs leaden, numb. When she realized Peter Perkins and the other cops coming on shift were staring at her, and she remembered losing it outside the collapsed building where she had discovered the bodies of her long-missing friends, she talked herself into putting one foot before the other. She wouldn't let the others see her be weak. She had had to fight that fight to be accepted as an equal for years, and wasn't up to doing battle on that front again. Inside the office, they sat on opposite sides of Jesse's desk. They were quiet together. It was an intimate thing sometimes for two people to be silent together, and this was an intimate moment between them. Jesse broke the silence. "We think we finally ID'd our blue tarp, John Doe." Molly was confused. If Suit was all right and her family was fine, and this was just about a body in the morgue, why, she wondered, had Jesse's expression been so grave? She couldn't make sense of it. Jesse understood her confusion and handed a plastic evidence bag to Molly. "We found that in Jameson's jacket pocket." In the bag was a small, white-bordered, color-faded photo, what used to be called a wallet-size print. It was the type of print you used to get when cameras had film inside them instead of memory cards, and folks carried photos in their wallets instead of in their phones. These prints were usually offered as bonuses by photo booths, as an incentive to have the developing done by them. "Print two or more 36 exposure rolls with us, and we'll throw in small prints for friends and family." As Molly stared at the image of a pretty teenage girl in the arms of a tall, brown-haired boy, Jesse thought back to a time when every strip mall and parking lot in the country had a little photo hut. "I don't understand," Molly said, her eyes locked on the evidence bag. "I don't understand." It was clear to Jesse that Molly understood perfectly well, but that she needed his help to let her heart catch up to her head. "That's you in the photo, isn't it, Molly?" She nodded. "You were really pretty even back then," he said. She smiled a heartbreaking smile, as sad as a June day is long. "Not until that spring." Her voice was choked and barely a whisper. "I was always so plain until then." "That's Warren Zabriskie holding you." She nodded again and then repeated, "I don't understand." "The guy in the hospital, Jameson, he called the station and spoke to Suit right after we released the description of our John Doe and the photos of his tattoo. But he wouldn't tell Suit anything. When I called back to talk to him, he had gone. To come here, I guess." "But what's he got to do with Warren?" she asked. "He's got that same tattoo in the same spot, the two-headed rattlesnake around the horizontal crossbeam. Come on, Molly. I think you can stop pretending now." She nodded. This time it looked painful. "Can you give me a minute alone in here, Jesse?" He came around the desk. "Sure," he said. "Please don't let anyone come in here." "No one will come in here until you tell me. Take all the time you want," Jesse said. "As long as you need." Chapter 72. They sat across the booth from each other at Daisy Dyke's, Molly barely touching her food. When Daisy noticed that most of the meatloaf and mashed potatoes she had served Molly was still on her plate, she made a face, and not a happy one. Daisy was a character and Paradise's favorite lesbian crusader, but diplomacy wasn't one of Daisy's strengths. In fact, Jesse used to think that if we ever wanted to incite a Third World War, Daisy could probably do the trick. "Not good enough for you?" Daisy said. It's fine, Daisy, it's good. Look at Jesse's plate. It's so damned clean, I don't think I'll need to wash it. Sorry, Molly said, I'm not that hungry. Jesse shook his head at Daisy, and she got the message. Okay, hon, I'll wrap that up for you then. Let me get you two some coffee, she said, scooping the plate off the table. Maybe something in the coffee from my private stock? Jesse gave Daisy the thumbs up. Molly opened her mouth to protest, then closed it. Be right back with those special coffees. Daisy was gone. Molly, Jesse said, leaning forward, do you think Warren had anything to do with the homicides? No, Jesse, no. He was gentle, not only with me. He could never have hurt Mary Kate or Ginny. He told me once that his coach was after him all the time, yelling at him to toughen up, that he was too much of a pussy to make it in college. Jesse didn't bother protesting that he had heard the same sorts of defenses from friends, families, and lovers of some of the most cruel and cold-blooded killers to walk the earth. He didn't see the point in arguing with Molly. You mentioned Warren's coach. Was it Coach Feller? Molly shrugged. I don't know. Maybe. I guess. I didn't follow basketball. I liked Warren because he was nice and he was handsome. And because Mary Kate thought so, too. Molly bowed her head and said, yes, and because of that. Daisy brought the coffees and, before she left, told them there would be as many refills as they needed. They thanked her and sipped their coffees. The ratio between the scotch and coffee was about 50-50. Okay, Molly, if Warren wasn't involved in killing the girls, why did he disappear? And why would the real killers feel the need to kill him? I don't know, Jesse. All I know is he wouldn't have hurt Mary Kate or Ginny. He couldn't have. Stop thinking with your heart now, Molly. I need you to be a cop. Why couldn't he? He didn't do it! She was loud enough that some heads turned. Jesse pressed her. But how can you know that? Because I was with him! What do you mean you were with him? Do I have to draw you a diagram, Jesse? It's like that. We spent all night together. His folks were away with his little brother. I just got back into my bedroom and into bed in time for my mom to come wake me up to tell me that Tess O'Hara was on the phone in a panic. It went from being the best, most exciting night of my life to the worst. But something doesn't fit, Molly. If he didn't do it, why would they need to kill him? Jesse said, there's only one answer to that. And Molly supplied it. He knew who killed the girls and kept it to himself all these years. Jesse nodded. But why would he do that? She asked herself as much as she was asking Jesse. And why would he come back after all these years? I think we'll have those answers if Jameson ever wakes up. But one thing's for sure. What's that? He never forgot you, Molly. He carried that picture of the two of you around with him his whole life. He must have given it to Jameson for safekeeping when he left Arizona to come east. She smiled that sad smile. I have that same picture. It's buried at the bottom of a box in the attic of my mom's house. I haven't looked at those old pictures for a long time. I couldn't deal with them. You know the weirdest part, Jesse?
What?
Mary Kate took that picture of Warren and me. There's one just like it that I took that day of Warren and her. That was the day I guess we both realized.
Does Warren have any family left in town? Jesse asked, finishing his coffee. You mentioned a little brother.
I don't think so. Maybe. Why?
Then it dawned on her.
Oh, a DNA analysis.
Finish your coffee and go home to your family. With Sue out of commission for a few days, I need you back in the station with me. Daisy came by the table, dropped off the bill and the wrapped-up meatloaf, and delivered a warning.
I spotted some vultures out front.
Jesse peeked to see a bunch of reporters and camera crews by the front of the eatery. We'll use that back door, Jesse said, handing cash to Daisy.